Does everybody know who I am? Imposter. I'm not quite that bad. I mean, you know, give me a little credit on something. Yeah, I'm Iron Man. But anyway, this is what y'all want to do. All right. I'm Jeffrey Allen. Everybody knows me by Mr. Jeffrey around here, in case y'all didn't know that. Been helping out for quite a while with our student ministry around here. Normally not here on Wednesday nights, obviously, anymore, but I do help out with the high schoolers on Sundays. But and was asked to come and talk to y'all a little bit tonight about a topic that may or may not be at the front of your mind. And we're just gonna talk about a few things, and then just kind of go from there. And if you have any questions or whatever as we're going, just let me know, and we'll try to do what we can to answer them as much as we can. But it's been a long week. I'll just go ahead and tell you, man. It's Wednesday. It's hump day. Maybe we're getting over the hump now, but it's been pretty busy for me the past couple days. In case you did not know who I was, just give you a little bit about who I am or what I do. I am a firefighter by trade. I am a lieutenant with House Springs Fire Rescue. So, and I also teach high school, in case you didn't know that. I teach Firefighter 1 and Firefighter 2 at the Florence Career Center. So I'm giving a shout out for that when y'all become juniors. And you might want to take my class, become a firefighter. It's the same certification that I went through when I went through the academy and all that good stuff. And you can get a job pretty much anywhere in the country. Blah 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 blah. If you got any more questions on that, I'll talk to you about that later. Anyway, so I love my job. I love what I do. Before I was in the fire service, I've got about 16 years ish of full time ministry experience behind me. Before I was in the fire service, so I guess it kind of fits why they, you know, ministering to students as well, and that's why the job fits with me teaching high school. You know, story goes on. But anyway, all right, tonight we're going to talk about something that may or may not be at the front of your mind, but at the same time, it should be at the front of your mind, okay? And so we're talking about mission. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear missions?
Mission Impossible.
Belize, Terminator. All right. Okay. All right. And that's what we're going to talk about. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about mission. But most of the time, when you hear, and I know when I was coming up, my dad was a pastor my whole entire life. So when I was coming up, every time I heard the word mission or missions, the first thing that came to my mind was a trip. I had to go somewhere. Which was always fun for me. I mean, I love to travel, you know, that kind of thing. So it was always fun for me. But that was the first thing that came to my mind was a trip. Or the first thing that came to my mind was, you know, was actually going somewhere to be on mission. But we're going to find out tonight that that's not necessarily always the case. As a matter of fact, it's rarely the case. And we're going to see that tonight. Well, as we transition, let's pray and ask God to bless our time tonight. God, we just stand and amaze at your presence, God, at who you are, God. You are great. You're the one that's worthy to be praised, God. You're the one that helps us. You're the one that brought us here tonight. And God, we just want to pause, God, just to say thank you for what you've done. And I thank you, God, in advance for what you're going to do. And I pray, God, that you will use me tonight, God. Use me as a broken vessel, God, to relay the message you would have me to relay tonight. And I pray, God, that you will help us to be on mission for you every single day. And God, we'll be careful to give you praise, honor, and the glory for everything. In Jesus, I love you. Amen. Well, anyway, so we're talking a little bit about mission or missions. Okay, Pastor Dick spoke a lot about missions and mission with our high schoolers this past Sunday as well. And you'll have your notes there. You may take a few notes and a couple of questions this ask and that kind of thing. So here's the question. I guess you could say the question is, what does it mean? Oh, let me back up. My subtitle there is, do you have a heart for missions? On mission for Christ. And the question is, do you have a heart for missions? Now, when I'm saying missions there, it's not necessarily talking about, we're going to get into it in a little more detail, but it's not necessarily just talking about having a heart for going on a trip to help people, if you will. Because I help people every single day with my job. Does that mean I'm on mission? Well, I'm supposed to be, but sometimes them people are kind of rude, and I don't necessarily want to be on mission right there at that point in time. Is anybody else honest with me on that? I mean, you know, there's some people I just see and meet. I'm like, I just don't really want to talk to. Plain and simple. Don't look at me like y'all are spiritual and don't think like that too sometimes. But anyway, I'm just trying to be transparent with you, just letting you know how I feel sometimes. Some people come in contact with that I just like, you know what? I'm not feeling missions right now. You know, I'm not feeling it. But we are to be like that everywhere we go. So do you have a heart for missions? And we're going to talk a little bit about what mission is all about. So what does it mean to be on mission? So what am I talking about when I say on mission? What does it mean? And I put this in here just to say it. Mission is not just a trip that we go on. Is that where I'm at? Yeah. Missions is not just a trip that we go on. We look at it. And we say, okay, we're going on a trip, we're going to Belize, we're going to Seattle, and we're going to talk about a few of those things. Even Kids Fest. Kids Fest is coming up. All these things that are going on in our church, and our church is a part of a lot of things, really, around the world. And I mean, obviously across the country, but also around the world. And our church is involved in a lot of those things. But what about our neighbor? I mean, you know, what about the people that we go to school with every day? You know, for those of you who go to school, what about those people? What about our friends that we're in contact with on a regular basis? What about those? Why do I have to go overseas to do missions? And this is a question that was brought up to me a long time ago. I was planning a mission trip, and I was going to Canada. I'll never forget it. It's a beautiful place. I'm ready to go back anytime, and I haven't been back in like 20 years. But anyway. Yeah, I'm telling my age. But it's just one of them things. I always wanted to go back and never been able to go back yet. Yet. It's coming one day. But I always wanted to go back to Canada. It's just a beautiful place. I was anticipating this trip. It was going to be a great trip. We were going to the Canadian Southern Baptist Seminary. I don't know if you're familiar with like Henry Blackaby and Richard Blackaby. They've done Experiencing God and all that. But anyway, they're the ones that kind of founded the seminary up there. We're going up there to help build part of the seminary, blah, blah, blah. We were going to do a penny carnival for all the kids in the town. And we had all these things planned out. For 8 days, we had everything planned out, right, for this whole mission trip. And I was excited and I was pumped up. And somebody told me one time when I was getting ready to go on that trip, they asked me this question. And it still rings true to me as well today. And they asked me this. They said, why are you going overseas? I ain't going overseas. First of all, Canada is not overseas. So I had to correct them on that. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, well, why you got to go to Canada on a mission trip? There's people in your backyard that need Jesus. I was like, it kind of stumped me. I was young. I didn't know any better. Now I'm like, well, that's why God put you here. I'm going to Canada. You're going to stay here. Evidently, you're negative and you don't want to go anywhere, so you stay here. You talk to them about Jesus. I'm going to Canada. Anyway, I didn't think that quick back then. But anyway, so I'm sitting here, you know, and that question's a little mind-boggling sometimes on how it's like, okay, there's people in my own neighborhood, if you will, that need to hear about Christ. Why do we send people across? Well, first of all, it's what God wants us to do. And that's kind of where we're going to go tonight and kind of what we're going to do. So think about what is at the heart of mission, if you will? Or what is at the heart of being on mission, if you will? All right? Okay. One is evangelism. If you look at evangelism, evangelism is the passionate proclamation of the message of the gospel. That's all evangelism is sharing the gospel, telling somebody about Christ, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, virgin birth, that kind of thing. All that in a nutshell. See, I just said it in 30 seconds, so you don't have no excuse not to tell somebody about Christ, right? You with me? Yep. You with me? So, I mean, that's what it is. But here's the question. Why is it so hard to evangelize?
It's not.
It's not?
Me and Addie do it all the time.
Cool. All right, what else?
We go to FCA.
But those of you, But seriously, if you think about it, why is it so hard sometimes for us to evangelize or to share our faith, if you will, or share the gospel with our friends? Why is it?
Because maybe they're not Christian, you don't want to offend them or anything. Maybe you're like me and you have a Muslim friend. You
don't want to offend them? Yeah. I mean, that's really a big one. Or not necessarily don't want to offend them, but you don't want them to, you maybe don't want to lose a friendship, maybe, you know?
You can get rejected.
Yeah.
Fun.
Which brings it to the number one reason why we don't witness and why we don't evangelize. You know what it is? Pride. We don't do it because I'm guilty. And we're all guilty of it to a certain point. Now, don't get me wrong. Some of us are just bold enough to go up to anybody and tell them about Jesus. I mean, but at the same time, you got in a fight with Paul Blart? Anyway, so here's the thing. It's hard. Sometimes it's hard because we don't know how people are going to take us when we talk about Christ. Now, here's another reason. Here's another reason why we don't share the gospel. Y'all ready for this? Because our friends see who we are away from church. And you might know, or we may know, that our life don't match up to what they think a Christian ought to be. So we're embarrassed if we tell them that we're a Christian because we may not act like it. Here's a question for you. This wasn't in my notes, but here's a question for you. Think about this. If you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? If you were on trial for being a Christian, think about it. If you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? In other words, is there enough evidence to prove that you're a Christian? Or does your life out of church not match up to what a Christian ought to be? Just throwing it out there for you to think about. But that's why a lot of times that's why we don't evangelize. It's because of pride. I'm scared of what people's going to think of me. I'm scared of what people's going to say to me, you know? So we don't share the gospel. The word mission is a transcultural enterprise where the gospel message is taken into the culture at home and or overseas. Okay? So that's what mission. Now let me go ahead and clarify something to you too. The general overall outlook of missions is in the Bible. Y'all agree with that?
Yes, sir.
The word mission is not in the Bible. Think about that. But the word rapture ain't in the Bible either, but I think one day God's coming back. You see what I'm saying? So you can't really go by the word but at the same time, you think about it. Mission's not in the Bible, but the general concept is, because we are to go out and tell people. We are to go out. The scripture says that we are to go and give people a compelling reason to respond. Go and convince them. In other words, we have to go and convince them what it is. I'm the recruitment and retention officer of Ohio Springs Fire Rescue. One of the biggest problems I have, or the hardest things I have, is keeping people in the fire service. You would think that it would just be like, I mean, it's the most awesome job you get. I mean, everybody's running away from a fire, and I'm going in. It's like, I'm the man, you know? Who wouldn't want to do that? You know what I'm saying?
Me.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. if you think about that, so my thing is trying to keep people motivated into the fire service and keep them motivated to be there. One of the reasons why we keep them motivated is people join the fire service to do what? Why do most people join to be a firefighter?
Fire.
To fight fire. There's not as many fires now as there are used to be back in the day because fire prevention, education, all these things that come around, you know. So it's hard to keep people motivated. So that's the same thing about, you know, the same principle if you about evangelism and missions is keeping people motivated to do what is the right thing. So I have to go out and give them a compelling reason to stay with us. I got to go out and compel them to come in, okay? I got to give them a reason. I got to convince them and give them reasons that they need to stay in the fire service. Some of them I'm like, go ahead and go. But there's others I'm like, man, you make a great firefighter. You just need to stick around for a little bit longer, you know, just kind of hang tough, that kind of thing. Therefore, missions always has evangelism at its heart, okay? And we're going to talk a little bit about what missions is. So why should we be on mission? Why should we be on mission? Well, first of all, it's Paul calls this a command. Y'all agree with that? We're commanded to go out. We're commanded to go, okay? And we're going to talk about Matthew 28 here in a second. But Acts 1:8, It says, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Am I in the right place? Yep. And to the end of the earth. Okay? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says, But in our hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared. Here's the evangelism part of it. It says, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason of the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Okay? So here's the thing. I ought to have enough of Christ in me that when people see me, they want to know about the hope that's within me. And then I am supposed to be ready right then. I'm supposed to be ready to give an account to them of the hope that is within me. And what is the hope that is within me? It's not what, it's who is the hope that is within me, and it's Christ. Yep. So, and that's where we are. And that's where we are. The church has the hope and the truth that the world is looking for. Here's the thing, the whole bottom line of all this, of why we need to do missions, is because there is a huge void in the world today that only Christ can fill. And it is up to his disciples, us, to go and make more disciples to try to fill that void. Only Christ can fill the void that's in the world today. And we, as disciples, have to go make more disciples. It's what we're going to talk about next in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. It says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Keep that little phrase in mind. We're going to talk about it at the end. Some doubted. Pastor Dick brought up a good point Sunday night on some doubted. And I want to focus on that a little bit later on. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now, here's the bottom line when it comes to mission and evangelism. This is the Great Commission. This is the great, they call it the Great Commission because this is when Christ called his disciples up to the mountain, and after Christ got done speaking these words to his disciples, go and make disciples, he stepped back on a cloud, and he ascended into heaven. Gone. He's like, peace out, buddy, I'm out of here. I mean, it's just, and gone. And that was the last, that's why they call it the Great Commission, because it was the last thing that Christ gave as far as a command to his disciples in order to do. Now, what is he talking about? Now, here's the thing. If you're a child of God tonight, you're a Christian, you say you're a Christian, guess what? You're a disciple. Just the same way Christ... I'm jumping ahead. The same way Christ... Here's the thing. Y'all just pardon me, because sometimes I kind of get off on these little trails and I got to run them for a minute and then I'll come back. But it's the same way Christ called out the 11 disciples in the Bible. The same way Christ called them out, he also called me out. He called me the exact same way. Y'all follow me on that? So therefore, I'm a disciple as well. And, oh, wait a minute. Disciples have a job to do. Y'all with me? If I'm a disciple, then I've got a job to do. I've got something I've got to do. And I got to do that for Christ because Christ wants me to. He's asked me to. Okay. All right. So the first thing we see is the purpose of missions is to make disciples. Okay. So if I'm gonna go about and to make disciples, if you will, then first of all, I think about the disciples. Here's a cool thing about the disciples that I found out. You ready? Say I'm ready. Now, that was three of you. All right, if you're ready, say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Here's the thing about the 11 disciples. The first disciples that Christ called out, you know who they were? Yeah. Anybody can name them? I can't name all of them. I had them in my head, and they're just gone. I was going to, but I'm like, I'll mess up. All right, anyway, let's think about who they were. What did they do? Does anybody know what their professions were?
Fishermen.
One was a what? a tax collector. Man, he was like scum. There ain't nobody like him. A tax collector? What? And he was a disciple? A fisherman, carpenter. In other words, they were tradesmen. They were tradesmen. Here's the thing about the Bible days. Back in those days, you had this select group of gentlemen, if you will. This select group of gentlemen that were like, I guess you could say they were the elite, for lack of a better word. They were higher than anybody else. They were smarter than anybody else. They excelled faster than anybody else. They were chosen by the hierarchy and the government and that kind of thing to actually go to school and to go to school and get a great education and go college, if you will. Back in those days, I guess it'd be similar to a college. And they'd get all the education they could, and those would be the ones that were hand-chosen and hand-picked to actually end up eventually like running the country and all these big hierarchy positions and that kind of thing, right? Well, where'd the fishermen and the carpenters and all them come from? They learned it. Why did they learn it? They had no other job because they were not part of the elite group. Here's the thing. The reason why I want to bring that up to you is because a lot of times, I mean, even now today, I'm like, who would even want to listen to me? I mean, you know, sometimes you kind of get in a little pity party. Don't look at me like y'all don't do this. Y'all do it too. Y'all looking at me like, what? You get in your little pity party and it's like, who would even want to listen to me? You know, I'm just old, dumb, country, redneck from South Carolina. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Who would want to listen to somebody like me actually get up and talk? I mean, you have to filter what I'm saying in order to figure out what I'm saying sometimes. You know, it's just, who would want to listen? And you know what? God chose fishermen, the ones that didn't make the cut. The ones that had to, the reason why they were fishermen is because that's what their family did. And they had to pick up their family trade in order to make a living. They didn't make the cut. Reason why he chose the carpenters, if you will, because they didn't make the cut. Nobody liked them, if you will. Why did he choose a tax collector? Man, he was a tax collector. I don't know why I like a tax collector. Right? He's coming to collect money, and it's like, man, you're getting my money. Yeah, and that's what it is. So here's the whole thing, you know, behind that. You know, the whole thing behind all this is Christ chooses the smallest things, I guess you could say, of the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I think I got it on here. I'm not sure if I do. Maybe I do. Do I? There it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 talks about it, and it says that he uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. In other words, he uses the lowly things of the world in order to present the gospel of Christ, in order to do God's work, in order to do God's will. He chooses the foolish things of the world now, of the world. Doesn't mean it's foolishness to God, it's foolishness to the world. So the world might look at you or like might look at me, even when I was coming up, man. When I was coming up, that's why I hit the gym when I got out of high school, because everybody looked at me, I was a little dude. I really was. I was like skinny, beanpole, about 165 when I graduated high school. My goal was to get to 200 pounds. My goal is still to get to 200 pounds. But I got to go down instead of up. So if you think about it, I mean, that's why I was, and that's why I done that. Man, I took the martial arts. Why did I take martial arts? So I could beat somebody up. That's why I wanted to take martial arts. That was no other reason. I loved to fight, and I wanted to fight well, you know. Somebody hit me one time and caught me with a roundhouse, and I said, you ain't going to do that again. So I went and took martial arts for a while. I come back and showed him a lesson. I mean, it's just one of them things, you know. I'm not saying, hey, I'm trying to be transparent with you. I'm not teaching you to go fight, all right? Okay. He's like, you're teaching us to do this. But anyway, why did I do that? Because I was the type of person, when I come up, I was the type of person. I was the low person. I was the last one to get picked on the basketball team who was out there playing basketball. I was the last one to get picked on everything. I was that guy. I was not the first one to get picked on everything except baseball. Baseball is my sport. I loved it. I played basketball because my best friend played basketball and he talked me into it, and I was the hatchet man. You know what the hatchet man is in basketball? I could be replaced because I wasn't that good. So the best basketball player on the other team, I'd take him out. coach tell me, he said, Jeffrey, get in there and play. I said, all right, I got him, coach. And I'd go over there, and he'd go up for a layup, and I'd tackle him. We'd both come up fighting. We'd both get kicked out of the game. I took their best player out of the team. I could be replaced. Wow. Hey, I was the hatchet man. That was cool, man. That's the stuff I did. But because, you know, reason why, I mean, I was the last one to get picked on stuff. But here's the thing. God uses those kind of people. God uses that. You might think that I don't know where you are in your life right now, but you may think that you're nothing. You may think that you're a nobody. God has a plan for you. Man, God has a plan for you. Follow him, and he'll direct you because he uses the little things, if you will, of the world, the ones that didn't make the cut, if you will, to confound the wise. So I read this scripture. That passage is real dear to my heart because that's where I'm at. You know, I failed. Oh, wow. I failed. I've sinned. I failed God in so many ways. But yet he still uses me and gives me an opportunity, some platform such as this, to relay his message. So the first thing we see is the purpose of mission is to make disciples. I am to go about my Father's business, which is Christ's business, and that is to go and make disciples. And that's what it talks about in Matthew 28. Go and make disciples. But here's the thing. The cool thing about verse 19 where it says go and make disciples is it's present tense. It doesn't say go like, I'm going to tell you now to go over there and pick that ball up and bring it to me. Then once you pick that ball up and bring it to me, you're done with what you're supposed to be doing, right? It's present tense. It means like now. It doesn't mean like I'm going to pick the ball up and bring it back. It's while I'm going, I'm going to pick that ball up, and if I see another ball, I'm going to pick it up. If I see another one, I'm going to pick it up. And wherever I'm at, I'm going to pick all the balls up. Does that make sense? So it's while I'm going, I am to make disciples. So it's the same situation. It's the same thing when it comes to making disciples. While I'm going, I'm to make disciples. So what does that mean? That means in my everyday life, everything that's going on around me, every day, every person I come in contact with is a potential disciple for Christ. And that's one of the things that we have to understand and we got to comprehend is we've got to be about his business. And while we are going, we're looking for opportunities to make disciples. I'm going to share this story with you. Why make disciples, first of all? Why make disciples? Anybody got any suggestions?
Spread the word of Christ.
Okay. Which ultimately does what?
Disciples.
Exactly. And? But, what does a disciple do? First and foremost, what does he do? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, exactly. Exactly. But here's the thing. Why I make disciples? Because what do disciples do? Yes, make other disciples. The first thing they do is follow Christ, right? So we make disciples to make worshipers. Because first thing I do is I worship God. Before I can outwardly, now, see, there's a difference in praise and worship. Everybody puts praise and worship in the same thing. I want to just go ahead and strike that out. Because Mr. Jeffrey said so. Because I can do that right now. It feels pretty awesome. But anyway, strike that out. There's a difference between praise and worship. It's not praise and worship together. It's praise and worship. Y'all see me. I'm on stage. We're singing in the praise team. Me and my wife. Caleb leads worship. And, you know, we got a lot of stuff that's going on as far as musical talent in our family. It's pretty awesome. I'm bragging on them a little bit. But anyway. Praise is an outward expression of what God has done on the inside of you. Meaning I'm telling somebody about Christ, or if I'm singing a song, I can lift my hand and praise God. That's an outward expression of what God's done on the inside. And that's something that touches me and impacts me so I can lift my hands to God, or I can lift my hands and I can praise him. It's an outward expression. Worship, on the other hand, is not an outward expression. Worship is when you're at home all by yourself and you listen to a song or something, maybe. And you realize that God's a lot badder and a lot tougher than you are. And there's nothing you can do to reach him. But yet he's came down and reached you. that's when it becomes worship. So that's what I mean when I say to make worshipers. True worshipers. And disciples are worshipers. All right, we're to make disciples. And while we're going to make disciples, I told you I was going to tell you the story. But here's the thing, as y'all writing that down. Here's the thing about the story. There was a church in Atlanta, and I think it was, I'm going to say, I don't know if exactly it was Atlanta, somewhere around Georgia. And I heard Tony Nolan speak on this and share this story. He called it evangelism, but he had another name for it. He called it intentional covert evangelism. I thought it just kind of caught my attention. I thought it was pretty cool. Well, he told a story of how this youth group was actually doing their things. They called them Good Sam Days. And how this youth group was doing this thing to try to intentionally go and find opportunities to present the gospel. So one of the things they did was with a leader, and they had a van. They had a church van, if you will. And they had this van, the church van, and they took off in the van and they piled the van. They had a cooler full of water and drinks and that kind of thing. They had an umbrella. They had a couple of folding lounge chairs or camp chairs. They had a list of everybody that they knew locally that was around that had a mobile tire service, like a tire truck. You know, they go out and change all the tires on the side of the road and that kind of thing. And they had a list of all these people, and they were just riding down the road hoping that they would find somebody broke down. And I was like, you don't look for somebody broke down. That just don't make no sense to me. But anyway, so they found this one guy, and he tells the story. They found this one guy, and he was broke down, and he's looking at, the guy had like his button-up shirt on, a suit on, and he was scratching his head looking at his blowout on his car. And by that time, this van pulled over. They turned the hazard lights on. Boom! They jump out of the truck. Two of them jump out. They come up. One's got the umbrella. One's got the chair. They plop the chair out and say, here, have a seat. Put the umbrella up over top of him. And one of them looks at him and says, hey, man, you hungry? You want something to eat? Want something to drink? Hey, we got some drinks right here. Man, he grabs him a Coke, throws him a Coke in there, and he says, well, you hungry, man? There's Wendy's right here next day. He says, man, we go get you a Frosty. Man, one of them took off to go get a Frosty. The other one's up, and there's another one over there walking around the car going, yeah, man, he's got a flat tire right here. Here's the size of the tire. Have you got these in stock? Yeah, I got these in stock. Hey, is there any way you can get the truck down here in a few minutes? Oh, yeah, we'll be right there. And he's sitting there going, they come back with the Frosty. They got the truck. This is a long story short now, okay? And the truck comes back, and he's changing all the tires. They actually gave him four brand new tires on his car. And they changed all the tires up and this thing and other. The guy that handed him his Frosty and handed him a pack of fries. Because you got to have fries with a Frosty, right? So anyway, so he's got his Frosty, and he's sitting there, and he's sitting under his umbrella in his lounge chair, and he's got his French fries, and he's dipping the French fries in his Frosty.
He's smart.
And then it hits him. What in the world
is
just happened? I just got four free tires for my car. And all of a sudden, all these things are running through his head. And one of the leaders comes up to him and says, sir, anything else we can do for you? We're about to wrap up here. He says, man, y'all have been awesome. And they told him where they was from, church stuff they were from, that kind of thing. And he said, sir, you mind if I tell you one more thing before we leave? And he said, no, sir, you go, anything. He said, same way we've done all this for you free, 2,000 years ago, Christ gave his life the exact same way so that you can have life and have it eternally. We just wanted you to know that. We just want to let you know that we loved you, and we love Christ enough to do this for you. They packed back in the van, psh, gone. The guy's still standing there with his fries and his Frosty like. What just happened? Another story he told was a guy in the lunchroom. I know I'm like running this rabbit, but anyway. What time is it? Okay, we're good. And, you know, he told another story of a guy in the lunchroom. One of the kids in the lunchroom, he jumps in, big old football player comes up to the drink machine. Little kid jumps in front of him, starts putting any money in the drink machine. And the guy says, what are you doing? He pushed him up against the drink machine. He says, what kind of drink you want? He says, I was wanting a Diet Coke before you jumped in front of him. He pushed Diet Coke, reached out and handed it to him. He said, here you go. He said, what is this? He said, same way I gave you that Diet Coke, Jesus Christ gave his life for you some 2,000 years ago. See ya. And he walks off. Does that mean he didn't do his job because the guy didn't fall on his face right then. Oh, God, help me. No, I don't mean it. I guarantee you one thing. Every time that rascal saw a Diet Coke, he thought about Jesus Christ. Diet Coke, Jesus Christ. Every time he put money in that machine and got a Diet Coke, he said, Jesus, no, Diet, Jesus. He can't get it out of his mind. That's just one of the things. Yeah. So it's this kind of, you know, so really, if you think about it, man, here's the whole thing about making disciples. Here's the whole thing about making disciples. Y'all with me? You with me? You got to give them a compelling reason to respond. In other words, you got to get them thinking about Jesus before they can follow Jesus. You got to get Christ into their mind before Christ can penetrate their heart. Okay? All right. Enough of that. We're moving on. The plan for missions is empowered disciples. Here's the thing about empowered disciples. If you look at, where am I at? Okay. If you look at the difference between a command and a commission, okay? And these are the things that Pastor Dick brought up this past Sunday that I thought was pretty cool when it comes to mission. It says the difference between a command and a commission. A command is an order or a compelling task given to a subordinate. In other words, I'm a lieutenant. I'm an officer with the fire department. If I got somebody that comes up and I show up on scene and I'm as a lieutenant, he sees someone who's even a senior member or a firefighter by the color of their frontals, in case y'all didn't know that, and they come up and I tell them something, a task to do, that is me giving an order to a subordinate telling them to go do whatever it is I had them to do. Make sense? If my chief shows up on scene, tells me to do something, that is chief giving an order to me, his subordinate, and I am to do whatever he asked me to do. Y'all follow me? So the same thing with a command. A command is Christ telling me that I'm to go do something. Okay, so here's the thing. What is Christ telling me to do? The command is on make disciples. Okay? A commission is ascending or empowering someone to do or accomplish something. Okay? That's a commission. That's like the chief, instead of the chief telling me, hey, you got to get that 1¾-inch line to go put that fire out, go in the front door around this way, blah, blah, blah. Or is saying, hey, the house is burning, go do it. Y'all with me? Because the command is him giving me specific instructions telling me what to do, where the commission is, you do it, and you do it and get it done how you want to get it done, but make sure it gets done. Does that make sense to you? All right. So the word empower is give someone the authority and resources to accomplish something and let them go about it their own way. And that's what Christ does. He says, look, while you're going, make disciples. And that has to do with a lot of stuff now. That has to do with your decision making, the things that you do, where you go, the places you hang out. All of these things, it has to do with all that. So it's saying while you're going, you make disciples. Whether it's in the grocery store or whether it's in the movie theater, you make disciples. And that's what he's talking about. He's covering all perspectives. Every decision that I make has to be based on my command or commission, if you will, and the empowering God's given me to make disciples. Because everybody in here is not going to choose the same profession. I'll just go ahead and tell you that now, in case you didn't know that. Everybody's not going to choose the same profession. Everybody's not going to have the best job in the world as a firefighter. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's not going to have that job. Everybody's not going to do that. Everybody's not going to be law enforcement. Everybody's not going to be computer geek. Jim. But anyway, I mean, you see what I'm saying? You're going to have a different profession. So with your choices that you make, that's what he's talking about. He doesn't say, go here and do specifically this and then make disciples. No, he's saying while you're going and all the decisions that you make, every area of your life, everything that you do, then that's where you're going, and that's where you're making disciples. So it's pretty cool. All right. So here's the question. Do we have the authority? Do we have the authority to make disciples? All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Therefore, when he's saying therefore, that's what I am to do. All authority has been given unto me to make disciples. What I mean by making disciples, it's not me this saving them, if you will, and making disciples. That's Christ that's doing all that. But we have the authority. We're the conduit. We're the vessel that God uses in order to do his will. So here's the thing. Christ tells us to go and evangelize. He tells us to go and tell people about Christ and share his gospel. Okay? If he tells us to go and share his gospel, why ain't we doing it? Now, it's like casting crowns, right? You know that song, don't you? Oh, yeah. If we are the body, why aren't his hands reaching? Why aren't his feet going? All that stuff. All right. So do we have the resources? Yes, we do have the resources as well. God's given us the, God's not just getting, here's the thing about Christ. He's not telling us to do anything and not equipping us to do it. You've accepted him. He's given you a story to tell. I used to see people all the time, and I'd hear them give testimony with my dad being a pastor and that kind of thing coming up. I'd hear somebody give a testimony, and I'm like, they were like in prison, and they like killed people and stuff like that. And I thought, man, and God, it talked about how God brought them out. And I used to say to myself, man, I wish I had a testimony like that. And I thought, that was the stupidest thing I ever said in my life. I don't want to go kill nobody to have a testimony. I'm sorry, it ain't happening. I mean, that ain't what I want to do. You know, I don't want to do that kind of stuff. In other words, God's given each and every one of us a unique testimony, a unique story to tell, and that's up to us in order to share the gospel and in order to present the gospel and share our faith with those that are around us. We all have that story to tell. Do we have the resources? Yes, we have the resources. Hebrews 13, 15 and 16 basically tells us that. And it basically says, share what you have. Okay? I may not have much, but I can tell people what I do have. I've got Christ. So I can tell people about that. Does that make sense? So here's the thing. All right, and the third thing is the responsibility of missions has been given to disciples. Uh-oh, back up. Put on the brakes. All right, it is not so much, this is Christopher J.H. Wright that wrote this, and it said, it is not so much the case of God that is given, the case that God has given a mission. Oh, he's playing with the mouse over there. I thought it was a fly there for a second. But anyway, a case that God is, where am I at? God has a mission for his church in the world, as that God has a church for his mission in the world. Mission was not made for the church, but church was made for mission, God's mission. Wow. See, I think we got it all wrong. You know what I mean? So anyway, so it is our responsibility. Here's the bottom line. It is our responsibility to share faithfully with what God has given us. Okay? All right, so here's a few things you want to make mention of as we close. Where is Cornerstone involved in missions? One, Community Kids Fest 2017, which is coming up. So you want to remember that. Remember that coming up at the end of April, so that's going to be good. North America, this is church planting in Phoenix, Arizona, Bellevue, Washington, and Issaquah. There you go. I was getting there. So you want to remember that. Globally, Belize, Cuba, Turkey, OM ships. Those are just a few things where Cornerstone is involved. So where can I be involved? You got a Belize family mission trip that's coming up, right? Kids Fest with Round O Baptist Church on April the 29th. Summit Life Church mission trips July the 29th through August the 6th. And volunteer on OM ships Literature Center. So you can volunteer for that. Yeah, you can go there anytime to volunteer for that. Anytime. Yeah, not even 5 minutes, really. But yeah, it's right down the road. So here's the thing. It's where I want to focus just for a second. Bear with me for a few more minutes. I promise I'll be done. All right. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. What do you think they doubted? Okay, now I know that Isaac can read.
Yeah.
Now tell me in your own words. Yeah, what did they doubt? That's the thing. Say again. Believe. They doubted their beliefs. Could have. Their own personal belief. Yeah, I can see that. See, that's the whole thing. They may have doubted some, you know, some of their doubts, obviously, like what's next, what's the cost, is it worth going in all, or going all in, what can I do, is it worth the investment, am I going to be able to do this, or can I do this? So here's the thing, God's given each and every one of y'all, y'all like my country slang, don't you, Amos Haley? Y'all are all, listen to me, listen to me. If you're a child of God here tonight, God's given all of you the resources, the ability to share his gospel and to tell others about Christ. He's given it to you. And that's the whole thing. Some doubted. Okay? In Acts, when Paul is in Athens, he writes and he tells the story of him sharing his faith in Athens, and everybody was mocking him, making fun of him and mocking him. But then later on, he kept saying and kept sharing and kept sharing over and over and over again that all of the, I guess you could say, the educated people called him in and said, hey, tell us what you're, this is different than what we have ever, all the scholars were like, this is different than what we have ever seen. Tell us about it. So he goes in and begins to tell them about it, and some mock him, but then it says, and some believed. So in spite of all the mocking, in spite of any what you may think, in spite of the pride that's going on in your life that you don't want to share your gospel, to share the faith, that kind of thing, whatever it is that's going on in you that's keeping you from sharing. Well, maybe they won't respond right. Maybe they won't do this. It doesn't matter. We are to share it. We are to share our faith, no matter what the mocking, no matter what it is. We are to share our faith. Because after all, Christ gave his life so that thou can have life and have it eternally. What am I doing for him? It's the least I can do is just tell somebody my story. Right? Let's pray. Kind and gracious Father God, as we close tonight, God, we praise your name for just bringing us here tonight. It's not any accident that we're here. It's only by your divine will and your divine purpose that we're here. And I pray, God, that your word is not returned void, will not return void and is not falling on deaf ears, but you've given us something to go on and something to go by today. I pray for each and every student that's here tonight. God, that you'll give them strength, boldness, but also gentleness and respect that they need in order to share their faith, in order to talk to people about you and to evangelize and make disciples of all nations. In Jesus, I love you. Amen.